The Becker's team is excited to be making our return to in-person events this fall. Join us in September for Becker's Hospital Review 6th Annual Health IT and Revenue Cycle Conference. We have opportunities to attend the in-person program in Chicago and also to join us virtually from the comfort of your own home. For information about registering and to find out if you are eligible to attend free of charge, reach out to us at registration@beckershealthcare.com.
This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Sam J.W. Romeo at Romeo Medical Clinic in Turlock, California. Today we'll be talking about how Dr. Romeo's practice is evolving and what he really sees as being the forefront of medicine today. Dr. Romeo, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Before we dive into the questions, could you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background?
I'm a family doc by history. I graduated in med school in 66, so I got a lot of water under the bridge. I went in private practice for 10 years in Idaho, and then went into managed care and was in managed care as a CEO in California and Denver and in Florida. Then was recruited into academia as Dean for Clinical Affairs at St. Louis University, and over the next 25 years was there in Medical College of Wisconsin and the USC. Then 20 years ago, my children, five of which are physicians, four of them end up in Turlock, California, and with as many grandkids, we had at that time 23 grandkids and 17 lived in Turlock, so guess where Grandma said we're going to end up, and that's why we are here. After we arrived, the other kids came to practice here. It turns out that the community has really been underserved for many years in terms of healthcare professionals. And when we looked for office space for us to move in, there's only one available. Subsequent to our developing the practice in Turlock, and actually, to be very candid with you, most of Romeo Medical is actually started by a couple of my children. The other one is ENT. He's separate and independent, and we're actually under the umbrella of a building that we decided to build just to create a solution to the absence of office spaces in Turlock. And we were joined by the local hospital who developed a new administrator at the time. And as a result of that, we created what we call the Tower Health and Wellness Center. And I basically, my role over the last 20 years is less and less the practice of medicine and more the administrative medicine, which is really consistent with what I did as a dean at the medical schools. And so now we've got 70 plus thousand square foot facility, which includes a surgery center and a wellness center that is uniquely designed, I think, in that we have a what we believe is a 5-star restaurant, is the best restaurant in town. We have a flower shop, we have a wellness clinic, we have a workman's comp, we do a facial plastic surgery, an ENT, and then a myriad of other specialists like a sleep lab, a wellness organization that does health and wellness on a corporate level, along with pulmonology and neurology and a combination of several other specialists, physical therapy, lab, X-ray, etc. So my job right now is I manage the surgery center, I manage the restaurant. That's being less and less so as my doctor sons is gradually moving into that role, and then I manage the building itself.
Fascinating. Well, it sounds like you've gotten such a great facility there and a great business. I'm wondering, how do you see the practice evolving?
Well, I think that the challenge, it depends on where you live. I think in what we have, and I was born and raised in northeastern Nevada, which is population of 1/4 person per square mile, and lived most of my life without having doctors in town. So you know, the idea of having the rural health care and anything outside of the suburban area is really deficient in health care, and Turlock is an example of that. We have a population of close to 200,000 people that we deal with. We have, for example, only one urologist. We have only two orthopedists. We have, so there's, the deficiency is really significant. And I think that the challenge is that in these small rural areas is to be able to recruit people with the debt that kids come out of a medical school with. The sponsor, to find sponsors in this is really very difficult. And I can tell you, to try to do it on a private practice level, it's almost impossible. And so the challenge is going to be how do small group practices and independent practices survive and when these external economic forces are such that even when, again, you typically think that the competitive issues are the problem, and it's really not competitive. We would love to have 6 new family docs move to town, 4 more surgeons, and 2 more orthopedists, and we wouldn't miss a beat. The challenge is going to be, is how do we do that? How do we get them here? Because the big organizations that can afford to do that are their self interest is such that they develop their own foundations and their own medical groups, and it increasingly people who are recruited are joining those because they get subsidy and debt forgiveness from loans. So that to me is the biggest challenge: is how do we fulfill the needs of the rural healthcare communities in this country?
Got it. That makes a ton of sense, and you know, it's so interesting to think about, as you mentioned, the what the competition is and what they're able to do in terms of bringing in new physicians potentially, and then, you know, where the private practice lies. And I'm wondering, you know, how are the competitors evolving, and what do you think is going to be really necessary for you to do in the future in order to succeed?
We've got to figure a way to be able to fund this debt service for medical students and residents. It is interesting if you go back, you know, 30, 40 years, that when people finished their residency program, that was the source of recruitment. But that's not the case anymore. I think what's happened is that people are taking whatever job they can find when they come out that'll subsidize and give them debt forgiveness, and then to find a second job after they go for money first, and then they join for lifestyle secondary. So the challenge is for us is to figure out a way to get people who have the maturity and got past that debt of a medical school debt. And of course it the difference is also they all have families and they get rooted into a community, and it becomes a challenge. So that to me remains the biggest challenge, is just how do you recruit people into these communities and get them started? Because there's no doubt about it in terms of the amount of business and the joy of practice is here. It's not a competitive economic issue. It's a competitive issue for recruitment.
Got it. Makes a ton of sense. So obviously, you know, the trend for what new physicians are thinking about in recruitment is a huge thing that you're keeping your eye on. Are there any other trends in healthcare that you're really watching closely?
Yes, I think the trends that we're seeing is the consolidation it makes it very difficult. Again, it's unfortunate, but if you don't have leverage and the economics of being able to challenge you when you look at a Tenet or a Sutter or a Kaiser, and these people when they contract for services, they leverage the higher price, and then when the independents, like we run a surgery center here, it's very difficult for us to be able to get a reimbursement that makes any sense. And we're very much willing and able, and I can continue to do package pricing and globalize those things. We have the surgeons and the anesthesia, and we'll do it any way that's possible. But again, the ability for us to meet the market demands in that, in terms of getting access to those contracts, is really kind of a challenge. From a family medicine and from a primary care perspective, I think the reimbursement rate is just that it's unfortunate that the needs from a social perspective remains the highest in the primary care, and yet the reimbursement based on historical RVRVUs and CPA and those things is that the proceduralists continue to get a better reward than the cognitive physicians, and that creates a challenge.
Absolutely. I think that is really spot on and something that a lot of physicians, especially independent physician practices, are feeling today. Now, before we wrap up our conversation, I have one more question. What are you most excited about this year?
I guess I'm a dreamer, I'm excited that we're coming out of the COVID, which I think was much more of a political event than it was a medical event for most people. But I'm 80 years old, and I wasn't part of the threatened group. But the fact is that I have grandkids now that they're trying to say that they need immunization and that sort of stuff to go back to school. I think is a travesty. So I'm hopeful that we're going to get a transition back to normal, and people begin to love and kiss and enjoy each other again. I just think life is more than being running in the fear of some disease that's different. And I'm old enough that I lived through the polio thing when I was a kid. We lived through the most of these epidemics in modern times, but nothing like this. And I think unfortunately, it's much more political than medical. And hopefully we'll get past that in a short time. And with that, we'll return to a more vibrant economy and a more vibrant lifestyle. The challenge, of course, is it's unfortunate. People were dying of COVID, but more people now are dying of the failure to have their prevention and cancer screening and that kind of stuff. And that to me is just something that we've got to recapture and get back to normal.
Dr. Romeo, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a really fantastic discussion. I'm inspired by your energy and your passion for healthcare and the independent physician, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
I appreciate very much your time, and thanks for the opportunity.